This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
You have high amounts of microbial metabolites circulating in your blood, penetrating your tissues, and even influencing your brain. Maybe you're eating too many types of fibers that quickly ferment and you want more slowly fermenting fibers. And then when it gets to the colon, will be processed by the microbiome to promote microbiome health and to promote beneficial metabolites in our bloodstream. So this fiber can offer a number of benefits, and it can actually influence the absorption of other substances as well. And so just to reinforce, fiber is also known as a prebiotic, and this is a substance that promotes the growth of beneficial bacteria. There's a lot of data now that the fiber can form a gel, and it can actually, as you see, it can block the or delay the absorbance of simple carbohydrates in our diet. So if we were to drink a can of Coke, for instance, on its own, we would absorb all of that very rapidly. However, if we were to drink that same can after a dense meal of vegetables and fruit and high fiber, that would actually be delayed. And the glycemic load, the speed at which we absorb that, would be delayed. So this fiber can offer a number of benefits, and it can actually influence the absorption of other substances as well. And as we know, the anti-obesity drugs that based on GLP-1, most commonly known as Ozempic and Wegovy, have become very popular. And what fiber is actually important to do is to naturally induce GLP-1 expression. So one could envision that obesity across the world has exploded because we actually have a GLP-1 deficiency. And that GLP-1 deficiency could be secondary to a decrease in fiber intake. And one way to boost your normal levels of GLP-1 expression and augment them is through intake of fiber. And what happens when we don't eat fiber? A diet low in fiber really starves our microbiome and diminishes its ability to make beneficial metabolites. So what happens is when you lack fiber, then these simple carbohydrates are more quickly absorbed in circulation. You have decreased GLP-1 expression. Your microbes become lower in density, and the beneficial microbes that degrade fiber are lost. And these microbial metabolites that we depend on to promote health are also lost. And so I've mentioned a lot about fiber up until now, and I just wanted to, for a second, dive into what exactly is fiber at the molecular level. And you don't need to have any strong background in organic chemistry to understand these, but I basically wanted to show that glucose, aka sugar, what is in a can of Coke, has this simple ring structure. And this goes directly into the bloodstream. Fiber, however, as you can see, these little rings of sugar are actually cross-linked and connected via these little bridges. And these bridges are quite unique to the way that plants store these carbohydrates. And some of these are not actually broken down by the carbohydrate enzymes that I mentioned earlier that our genomes have. And we require bacteria to break these bonds and to slowly release the energy that then will feed us as well as our microbiomes. So again, this is the difference between drinking a can of Coke versus eating oatmeal, is that this fiber, in this instance, a beta-glucan fiber, will be present. And as it travels through our small intestine, will inhibit the absorption of other forms of sugar in the small intestine. And then when it gets to the colon, will be processed by the microbiome to promote microbiome health and to promote beneficial metabolites in our bloodstream. And then I just wanted to run through, depending on how these rings are connected, there are six sides of the ring, and it can connect in any sort of linear formation or branched formation depending on which side of the ring that it attaches on. And so you could imagine that in nature, there are many, many types of fibers, depending on the linear and branch chain structures, potentially thousands of different types. And when we eat a food, what we're eating is actually all of the different fiber types contained within that food. The cellulose in the cell wall, beta fructans, galacto-oligosaccharides. I just wanted to give an example of what these different fibers look like and what types of foods have them. So, for instance, the beta glucans, as I mentioned, were high in oats, also found in mushrooms and whole grain rice. These galacto-oligosaccharides are enriched in lentils, beans, chickpeas. And the xylo-oligosaccharides are in more roughage, such as bamboo shoots, corn cob, and sugarcane. Then we have the pectins, and this is what is on the surrounding of an apple. Resistant starch is found predominantly in foods such as unripe bananas, oats, beans, and potatoes. Then we have galactomannans and arabinoxylans. So these are all different types of fibers. And I think the important thing, if you can take away one thing from today, other than that our microbiome loves fiber, is that the value and the real key to eating a whole foods is that it contains a diverse array of fiber types. We don't have any supplements that are available right now that have a diverse array of fibers to promote the microbiome, and particularly are in a vehicle that delivers them to the colon. Whole foods are really the perfect supplement because they have a diversity of fiber types, and really we have evolved so that when we eat a food, that fiber is delivered to our colon in its ideal form. So really, the best way to promote microbiome diversity is to eat whole foods because they harbor a diverse array of fibers within them. And each member of our microbiome actually has a specific set of fiber types that is able to use. And it's like a community. Each feeds on a separate type of fiber, and with a diverse array of fibers, the community is really optimally thrives. It's also worth mentioning that some fibers are more readily fermented than others, and it really refers to the speed with which they're fermented. Some of you might feel when you eat a high-fiber diet that you have side effects such as bloating or potential gas, and this may be that you're eating too many types of fibers that quickly ferment and you want more slowly fermenting fibers. Essentially, we are a walking ecosystem. We harbor trillions of microbes on us, but mostly within us, most densely in the distal small intestine and in our colons. The fascinating thing about the microbiome is that while our genome is fixed and has about 40,000 genes, and within the microbiome, there's about 100 times more genes than human genes. But what this essentially means is that our genomes are actually dwarfed by the genetic capacity of those microbes within us. The microbes predominantly live in our colon, and what they feed on in our colon is fiber, also known as prebiotics. And essentially, when we intake simple sugars, our small intestine is highly adapted to take those sugars, absorb them, and put them immediately into circulation. However, when we eat particularly a large particle food and vegetables, fruits, whole grains, a lot of this carbohydrate structure bypasses absorption in the small intestine where it goes to the colon. And you'll notice the structure and the carbohydrate linkages here are quite different. The microbes of our colon have highly evolved to break these unique linkages present in plant cell walls and other carbohydrate molecules. And what they do is they break it down. And as I mentioned, we have 40,000 genes. 17 genes are specifically to degrade carbohydrates. Our microbiome has 100 times more genes, but a disproportionate amount of that is actually to degrade fiber and to process carbohydrates. There are some estimates that up to 100,000 genes contained within the microbiome are there to simply degrade fiber. And that's really the reason that the microbes exist in the colon, to degrade fiber. When they do this, they create healthy microbial metabolites that are then absorbed into circulation. Right now, as we're listening to this presentation, you have high amounts of microbial metabolites circulating in your blood, penetrating your tissues, and even influencing your brain. And what we eat really determines what those metabolites are and how they promote health.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.